PRN.
Was meant to put a little pep in your step. It's Friday after all. That's the Soweto String Quartet with Covfefe. Not Donald Trump's Covfefe, but the real thing. This is from their album Millennia. Many wonderful tunes on that album. This is Lead Stories. I'm Beatrice Lead. And it is Free Your Mind Friday. We simply do not lack for things to talk about today. So let's hear from you at 888-874-4888. Free Your Mind Friday is your program. Of course, every day is your program. But we suspend regular formats for today every Friday. And the program is turned over to you. You take it where you want to go. And you talk about things that are of great importance to you. And, of course, you should be prepared. Some people, like me, might ask you a bunch of questions based on what you say. But that is not meant at all to intimidate. It is to encourage the dialogue. But from a specific point of view, your point of view, your specific point of view, you should have an opinion about something. So make sure you have an opinion. That's the only requirement here. Have an opinion. And 888-874-4888 is the number to call. We start in Baltimore today with Marie.
Afternoon, the two of you.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, and you?
I'm hanging in.
Yes. You had a good show yesterday. And yesterday, I had gone to the store, usually, around 12 o'clock, noon, and went to buy a newspaper. And I was told they're sold out. That's the Baltimore Sun newspaper company. And I didn't get upset or anything. I just turned around and said something has happened in Baltimore. And I didn't get a newspaper till around late evening in the day. And the mayor, or former mayor, Catherine Pugh, she's been indicted for a lot of tax questions and other things that she's done. And it sort of reminded me of Trump in a way. Hate to say his name, but I have to say it. That we have to try to research on our own to find out how people are who we want to vote for. Because they may not turn out the way we think they should be. And there's in Thursday's paper, you might want to get it if you can. There's about 4 pages on her. I'm serious. And she has, it was mentioned that she might get 178 years for what she has done, which is too long to list. And
well, you should say what she is alleged to have done.
Yeah, alleged.
She hasn't been convicted yet.
Yes. And today her picture is broadly spread out on the Baltimore newspaper today. And yesterday's newspaper, her name was larger than the name of the newspaper. I'm serious.
They really have a thing for her, huh?
I mean, how this case is going to be handled, I don't know. She did show, I think it was last year, or maybe beginning of this year, baby clothes that she made or something like that. And today, as I said, she has a big picture of herself in the paper looking sadly. And there has been some talk on one of the black radio stations about her. Not as much as I thought it would be, but you might try to get those newspapers down your way because you're in for some reading. Believe
me. Well, I've been following the case of it, you know, during the trial, but I'm not sure about some details of it. Give us a little bit of background.
Well, there's taxes to be concerned with. And
her personal taxes.
Personal taxes, yeah. Personal taxes. Selling a book. She had a book called Happy Days or something like that. And I'm sure she's not happy now. And she sold copies of those rather strangely, I would say. She made some money. And she,
yeah, it's like what Donald Trump Jr. is doing now. Supposedly, he wrote a book.
Yeah,
I questioned that. And it is now on the top of the bestsellers list.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way to see it. That's the way they're explaining this. But
mm-hmm.
My news sense tells me, one, he did not write the book. He hired somebody to write the book for him, and his girlfriend is a reporter, but I don't know, she's a practicing reporter at the moment. Mm-hmm. But what they do, because this has happened before in many, many areas across the United States, if somebody has a high enough profile, after they leave office or after they have achieved a certain notoriety or fame mm-hmm. while in office, they write a book. They, quote, write a book, unquote. Meaning they hire somebody to put it together. Then, with their connections, they get the book printed. In this case, with Donald Trump Jr., no book, unless you are really unmatched in the field of writing, no book just gets to be a bestseller just like that. They call in their contacts and, you know, they make arrangements. You push the book, and in her case, the book was to be pushed through the school system.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that means everybody who wants to hold on to their job will order up a bunch of books and get them sold. And they get a little bit of change for that. You know, they make these private arrangements. And the book, boom, is a bestseller.
Mm.
And that's how they do that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people who are bestsellers, there's a reason they're bestsellers. It's really a thing about political connections. When your mayor or your president or whoever it is that has a high political profile and who is in a position to affect your job calls up and says, well, you know, my book comes out next month. How many copies will you be getting? Everybody understands that question.
Well,
and so the poor parents on the lower end of the scale, in terms of how much, who gets how much money, they just get to buy the book at the asking price. But as you go up the chain, people get rewarded for the number of books they sell based on their official influence. So let's say with the mayor, she may one day pick up the phone, let's say, and call Principal Brown. And she would say in a very nice voice, you know, Principal Brown, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm like, you know, I called because I wanted to give you the first leg up. My book is coming out next month, on the first of the month next month. And I was wondering, because it would be so great to have this book in the school system. And I was wondering if you could help me with that. How many copies could I put you down for?
Yes. You know,
and
system.
If he doesn't come up with an answer, bye-bye, Principal Brown. You move to someplace in the sticks somewhere. This is probably being more severe than it has been in Baltimore, but that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the book business runs.
Well, she has well, I don't know whether she has a house now or not, a big house, which got money, I guess, from the books or somewhere. And she bought this house to have parties. See, all this stuff was in the paper. She's no longer a mayor. She had to give up her mayorship in the first 6 months of this year or longer. I'm not quite sure. And she wanted to stay as a mayor, but forces out here wanted her out. And I picked up something back in maybe March of this year where she was at a meeting and she had dark clothes on. It might have been in the month of March. And she politely said that she's going to retire from this medical association. And I said to myself, uh-oh, there's something going on here. I didn't know what. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
And she eventually retired this year from being a mayor. And she was hired, I think, last year. And then the people, you know, the biggies who put her up for the job, or maybe she was running for the job, I don't know. I just kind of wonder how they feel about this. But she's in a lot of trouble.
Somebody had it in for her. This is a political hit.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. It's a political hit. It would be interesting to know what the root of it is.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody really hates her.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't vote for her. I didn't know the woman, so I just didn't vote for her. But this is a big thing now here in Baltimore, especially among the black people. I don't know about whites. And her, as I said, there's two stories on her, Thursday and Friday. see if you can grab a hold of those newspapers, because there is a story.
I will certainly look out for it. But, you know, the small pieces that have appeared so far, I've been following. And what I'm intrigued to know is who put out this hit to get her out and using this? Because let's be real clear. Nobody who has been mayor of Baltimore has been as clean as driven snow. Nobody. So in that sense, it's with her, it's a matter of comparison. Is she as bad as those who came before her, or is she really worse than those who came before her? And who put out the hit? That would be the interesting line to follow on her. But then again, you have somebody who was reckless and careless and convinced she was untouchable. So in that sense, you have to ask, well, who was protecting her all this time? And how come that relationship soured? I bet you it was money.
Oh, yes. Money is always the root of trouble or evil.
Yeah, I think it was
a lot
trouble.
Of money.
She ran
isn't
into
it?
Trouble.
And
but anyway, I feel sad that when people get into these positions of influence and power, they almost seem to, you know, shoot themselves.
Yes.
And destroy themselves.
But, all right, my dear, thank you so much. Have a good
thank
day.
Thank you.
All
thank
right.
you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Jane from New York, you're on the air.
Hello, Detrice. How are you doing today?
Okay. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I hope you're doing a little bit good after I mentioned your favorite candidate, Deval Patrick, not being able to get five people in a room for a speech that he was giving. I mean, have you ever...
That was cruel. You, that was a cruel thing to say, but it was true.
No,
absolutely.
It's a truthful thing. How is it that you getting in the race, this is supposed to be your first, I think, public appearance as a candidate in the race, and you only get two people? Now, my question to myself would be, did my staff not put out the information? Is this a sign that people are telling me that they don't want me in the race? I don't know what it is, but I'll be honest with you. If I only got two people, I would hurry up and get out the race, because it's quite obvious that nobody really wants you in the race. And what they
think you got to say is not going to be important. It may not be the case. As you just said, it may be a foul-up on the part of staff, not doing an adequate job of promoting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But in any event, what you said is the fact. He couldn't get enough people to pack the room, which is a big, big problem. Hey. However, is it a fatal error? I don't know.
I would think it would be either a fatal error or it would be a sign of things to come. And I would definitely like to see what happens with his next event and what the turnout would be in his next event. Because, listen, he's supposed to have more than two staffers. So the room should have had at least five people if he had to sit down three of his staff members. I mean, that's not even a handful. That's absolutely embarrassing. That's
well, we don't know enough of the facts. We don't know. And I'm not saying this to pick up for him, because it may be a perfectly logical reason as to why that snafu occurred.
Well,
and not because people don't like him. You know,
we're gonna
he hasn't been
out now
long enough to be disliked this much.
Well, we're going to find out. So now let's get to this whole impeachment thing. From my observation of the impeachment, it's quite clear what the president did. The question now becomes, is the Republican Party going to hold him accountable for what he's done? And what's going to happen to Rudy Giuliani? Because it seems like to me, Giuliani is really the architect of all of this. I had saw something for a hot minute that he was on Glenn Beck's show talking the same craziness about how there needs to be an investigation into, you know, this whole thing with status pro quo or you know, dirty dealings going on and all of this over in the Ukraine. Now, I don't understand what gives him the right to have any type of say-so whatsoever in this manner with him not being a member of the cabinet. I mean, he was
a de facto member of the cabinet, and that's the workings of your president. Your president named him, pretty much gave him full authority to be a shadow ambassador, gave him the power to do all kinds of stuff.
But doesn't the Congress and the Senate have the right to shut that down?
Did they ever raise a question about how Giuliani got so much power without coming before Congress and without being nominated for the various positions that he held?
No, they did not. So that's telling you something. There's a lot of things going on between both parties, Utrice. I feel that is extremely dangerous. Like I've always said on your show since this man got into office, he is a friend of Pelosi and he's a friend of Chuck Schumer. I don't care what nobody say. They've run in the same circles politically for years and years and years. And I'll definitely make that a assumption and clarity in regards to Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer and him have known each other, have dealt with each other for years. He's given money to Chuck Schumer.
They both come out of Queens. It happens that way.
Yeah, but my point, what I'm trying to say is, it seems to me that the Democratic Party is allowing certain things to happen that they should be able to and have the forthrightness to question and make demands that people are accountable for.
Forthrightness in political parties? Is that what you're talking about now?
Listen, what I'm saying is they have authority.
I understand. I'm needling you. I'm saying I am done with people asking the question. The questions are clear, they've been clear, but nobody has done a damn thing about it. So we have no right after a certain point, we don't have the right to ask the questions. Because the questions have been noted, they've been discussed, they're in your face, how could you miss that? But we don't have anyone proposing the answer or the solution, and then proposing how we can act on it.
It just basically seems like this guy can get away with whatever he wants to.
He has gotten away with everything that he wanted to get away with. He has successfully done that.
And nobody's holding him accountable, and this impeachment is not going to hold him accountable, and there's no telling what's going to happen next, because after what was shown on Wednesday, nobody's going to be able to compete with him. Nobody's going to be able as a candidate of the Democratic Party hold him accountable for his actions, nor is anybody going to go after him in the manner that is necessary to expose him to the American public. And the truth of the matter
is, let me ask you, what are you prepared to do?
The American public don't care. The American public doesn't care.
What are you prepared to do?
Oh, I'm prepared to put the word out there to as many people as I can. To talk
put the word out about what? Everybody's seeing it. It's been covered from north to south, from east to west. Everybody knows about it.
Yeah, well, then the people don't care. Then the Republican Party doesn't care that they allow, and the Democratic Party doesn't have the ability to muster up the votes and the people necessary to remove him for office. Because I tell you clearly, I don't think they have a strategy on how to win. And I don't think they have a vision on how to win.
I don't think they have a strategy. I said that. They don't seem to be together on anything. They don't seem to have a plan. And it is becoming so laughable in a sense. They're making idiots of themselves because they willfully are destroying the little power that they managed to have. And
you treat, I'll leave you with this. The only person I thought, before you go, you know what I like?
I like the way you dismiss me.
Oh, I apologize.
Good move.
I apologize. So, but the only person that I thought that had a real idea and a real plan to move the Democratic Party forward, and he was totally dismissed because of Obama, is Keith Ellison. I thought if Keith Ellison was the head of the DNC party, other than this clown Perez, I think we would be not in this position that we're in right now. Because I definitely think Ellison had a vision and an idea on the way that he wanted to take
this whole thing. He had no power.
Right.
Okay.
That's why he didn't win.
Did we just agree on something? Is that possible?
Lucrece, we always agree. You know, I don't disagree with much that you say. So I don't know where you get that from about me and you not agreeing. You know, you just say it more tactfully than I do. I don't have the tact that you have when you put forward your analysis. But listen, all I can say is we're in trouble, Lucrece. And you know the beautiful thing is, people like me and you, we have certain skills to survive, and we're not gonna let these jokesters take us down in this quagmire shipwreck that's about to fall in the ocean. We got our lifeboat, our life vest on already, and ready to do whatever we have to do to paddle away from this madness. Have a beautiful weekend, my sister. Be good now.
You too, Jay. Nice of you to call. Bill from New Jersey, you're on the air. Hello, Bill.
Good afternoon. Yes, I'm here. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. What's on your mind that you're freeing your mind of?
Well, you would be hard-pressed to find an individual that cares less about who is president of this country than I do, that lives in this country. We've talked about this before. I don't care who the president is. It is not going to affect me in any way. You can't stop the sun from shining. I'm going to be what I'm going to be, regardless of who sits in the White House. But to all of those Democrats out there that really want the White House back, which they're not getting, I can give three options. I can give three winners right now. Option A, Bernie Sanders with Elizabeth Warren as vice president is a winner. Not going to happen because the party doesn't want Bernie Sanders. They've made that abundantly clear. Option two, Elizabeth Warren with Hillary Clinton as a vice president is also a winner. All-woman ticket is a winner. Not going to happen. Hillary is
Thank
not going to be anyone's vice
Lord.
President.
Thank
yeah,
the
gonna,
Lord it's not going to happen. But okay.
Yeah, not going to happen.
yeah, let's go.
But could win. And option three, which also isn't going to happen, is Barack Obama is eligible to run. You can only get two consecutive terms. He's eligible to run right now. And he won't run because he's busy making lots of money. But if anyone thinks that he cares about the American people, he could ride in and save us right now. He's eligible to run. It's two consecutive terms, and the only reason no one has come back is because generally they're either too old, they're dead, or they left in disgrace, a la Bill Clinton, by the time they become eligible again. But he could run right now.
Okay, and who will run with him as you see it?
Anyone. Joe Biden again. Anyone. It doesn't really matter.
Joe Biden is heading for the exit soon.
Yeah, Joe
he
Biden can't win.
At all.
Joe Biden
but
can't
look,
win. He has
let me
no
react
chance
to
win.
Your couples that you have here. Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren.
That's
a very tough sell. The Democrats have no love for Bernie Sanders.
Not a bit.
And quite a few people themselves think of him as an old curmudgeon and a leftist has-been. So
yeah,
how are you going to pull that off and then double it up with Elizabeth Warren, who herself seems to be in a whole other orbit right now? I do not know many people of color, I'm sad to say, who find her to be an attractive candidate. She comes across
really...
as a suburban white woman who thinks she has the answer for everything. I raised a question, where is your plan? She's talking all about plans. Where are your plans?
I 100% agree that she can't win as president. But vice president, you don't really, is just an add-on, just an addition. It doesn't really matter. Bernie Sanders is capable of winning. He could have beat Trump the first go round, if he wasn't cheated out of the nomination, he would have beat Trump the first go round. Now, has he lost a little steam? Maybe so, but I think also there's a media negative against him that is really trying not to talk about him. And I don't believe the polls are 100% accurate. I still think the people really want him. Young people certainly want him. And there is enough independent thinkers and enough Democrats and enough that anti-Trump people that he could get elected. But he will never, never, ever be put up as the nomination. Never. But could he,
well,
could he do
here's
it?
Here's a problem I
was?
Have with
yes.
Bernie Sanders. As with, and more so I should say, with Elizabeth Warren. They have an answer for everything. They have a solution for everything. And after a while, it gets you annoyed. Because you're selling myths and dreams. People want to know, what are your top six things? And just run on those six things.
Isn't that what the presidential election is? Is selling myths and dreams? I mean, isn't that
what Barack Obama did, was sell myths and dreams? In a way, this is why Obama won. Because
yeah.
he kind of got away from mythology and started dealing with real things. And I'm not saying that Sanders and Warren aren't dealing with real things. But I have criticized Warren more than I've talked about Bernie, because Warren has a plan for everything. Okay.
What
does you have all these plans?
Where are they? Deal with? What real things did Barack Obama deal with that you're speaking of? Just so I'm
healthcare.
Clear on what we're talking about.
Healthcare? End to war? I mean, he dealt with some serious things
and
that people connected with.
What of those things did he do?
Well, that's a whole different question.
I mean, he came in with the hope and change, and there was no change. There was no hope of change.
He left us with some change. But the point is, we can't expect in particular situations like this where people are running for president, we should learn, we should mature enough to understand that we shouldn't be going for this kind of sales job. You can't have a solution for everything. You know, I'm hearing every other day Elizabeth Warren touting a plan for this and a plan for that, except she hasn't produced the plan.
No. And so, they're not going to.
So why should I bother with you? You know what I mean? If you're going to be so casual and flim-flamming, this is what I call flim-flamming. I'm serious as a would-be voter, let's say. And
I detest
this habit of people coming up with, you know, a McPlan every other day is a McPlan, like McDonald's, you know?
Yeah. Like I said, I don't care. I'm just calling to tell those Democrats out there some possibilities. As far as I'm concerned, they might as well strap in and get used to 4-5 more years of Donald Trump, because he's going to win.
Don't sell them anything. That's my point. If I were to be able to influence any election, I would say just absolutely let them know we can't reward them for their derision of us. We can't do it.
Because you're
making things up, and you are abusing. You are abusing people's faith in you. You're abusing what it is that we desperately want and need and been talking. We're talking the same thing for decades.
For decades. Yes.
For decades.
For decades. I agree. That's why I'm not interested in the whole process. I'm
but
an observer.
Need to let them know.
I'm an outside observer.
We're
That's all.
Done with you. If you can't produce, we're done with you. Let's go on to something else. Create something new, or go on with and invest in a situation that may not be perfect, but we could certainly get better results with some other party. Create another party. But there's no rule or law that says we have to be stuck with the underperforming Democratic Party for the rest of our lives. No.
Well, there is no rule, but that is what is going to happen. There won't be another party. There won't be another party. It will be Democrat or Republican for the rest of our lives. That is what's going to happen.
I mean, even this thing with the hearings against Trump and whatnot, they look at it as a public relations thing more than they should use this tactically, scientifically, to get him out.
Well,
but they're still following normal rules. How are you going to succeed in a situation that is totally abnormal, and you're trying to show everybody how normal you are to follow the normal rules? No, that's not work that way.
Idris, we wouldn't even have impeachment hearings about Trump asking to investigate corruption of Joe Biden if Joe Biden wasn't dirty. Joe Biden was corrupt. There was corruption. This is just a shell game. Don't look at the P. Look
all
at the shell
through
over
the
here.
Obama administration, there was a lot of corruption. You mentioned the word Clinton. That's corruption. In the Clinton administration, it was well known as one of the most corrupt administrations in modern times.
Absolutely.
So, but here we are.
Here we
you
are.
You yourself just said that, you know, Hillary Clinton should be considered to run alongside
Warren. No, I didn't say she should be considered. All I said was this is a winning ticket. I don't want her. I don't want her. I'm just saying that it could win. I actually, between the two, I'll tell you that I prefer Donald Trump be president than Hillary Clinton, personally.
Let me get some Kleenex. I'm crying.
Well, like
well,
Glenn Ford.
I'm glad that you share your opinions as generously as you do, and as genuinely as you do, because we need to hear a different voice. We need to hear how people are thinking and in what ways they're thinking differently. So thank you for doing that for us.
Can I quote the great Glenn Ford of Black Agenda Report? What he said about the possibility of Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton is he said that, this is before the election, he said that Donald Trump is evil, but Hillary Clinton is the more effective evil.
I would say the more maniacal evil. Thanks a lot for coming in today and freeing your mind as well as ours. Thank you. Gwen from New York. What have you to say today?
Well, I'm very disappointed listening to the call so far. I got to tell you something. My brother is a raving Republican, and I never hear him or his friends ever speak so badly about their party, the people they're affiliated with. I just never hear this. And I know that one of the things that makes people lose is negative does create more negative. And I think that if this man they called before thinks that whoever is the president of the United States does not matter, well, I think he's blind and deaf. It matters. It matters a whole lot. Maybe it doesn't matter to him right now because he's sitting pretty in the middle class and, you know, maybe he's making money and has a job, but it all filters down to the people. And it also filters down in the way that people behave. And
Let me finish about something that's very, very important. And what is very important is that you are not paying attention to is that they're speaking their minds.
That's great. I'm speaking my mind because if we were in a room and we were all having this conversation, I would have an opinion about the opinions that are so, so strong and being put out there very, very freely. Like, you know, there's no reason to get up tomorrow because guess what? You're a Democrat and Democrats are all stupid and they can't do anything right. And, you know, as unhappy as I am with the party, I will tell you, I would still
regard because number one, where have you except, you know, on the other side and the media outlets, you see calumniation really attacking in the worst way. The president does it. Calling people fools and stupid.
It's unbelievable. I heard the president call the Democrats human scum the other day. I'm not worried about what he thinks about the Democrats. I'm worried that a president would actually say you're human scum.
The Republican Party is not reacting to the venom.
No, They don't react and they don't talk bad about each other. And apparently their way, and I want to talk about this because I think it's extremely dangerous what's happening in these hearings, because I think that whether you agree with our policy in Ukraine or not, it's very dangerous to have a third party like Rudy Giuliani, who was not elected to anything, go over and take the reins. It's also disturbing to me.
It's not only dangerous. That's the point people have been talking about. It is constitutionally illegal.
Exactly.
He has no portfolio to represent the country in diplomatic matters. He has no credentials for doing this job.
And I think it's really the next thing that
reckless, crooked president gave him the authority to do these things.
I think also what was disturbing was listening to this man, Solomon, speak, who donated $1 million to Donald Trump. So all of a sudden, he finds himself in a position of enormous power with two countries that are at war with each other, and America's leaning in with, you know, giving them weapons, and you have somebody who's, you know, basically a guy who's off the street who owns hotels, who now he's going to be running the show for this very, very delicate and I think for a lot of people dangerous situation. So,
yes, but it comes back to
the Republicans. I think it's going to come back.
Do it if he weren't allowed to do it, and that comes right back to the president.
Of course, it does. That's what I'm saying. The president basically hired him because he got, there's another quid pro quo. He gets $1 million for his campaign, and he says, "Okay, I'm going to give you this." And you know what else is really scary? I'm listening to somebody on NPR this morning who's a Fulbright scholar who's basically saying, "Well, it's really okay to make the people to give you a lot of donations, diplomats, just don't put them in a position where it's like a really serious diplomatic position, as this one is." Really?
Everybody who's even a casual observer of politics knows that that's been going on for decades.
For years, I agree with you. But I think that today I think it's what we're seeing is really serious. I think it's very, very, very upsetting to watch what's going on with the Republicans, because at least in the Nixon campaign or in the Nixon impeachment, you finally saw Republicans when they realized that, you know, the law had been broken, and that they would look very bad if they went ahead and said it's okay that the law has been broken, because we're behind this guy 100%. We have an allegiance to him. That's the other thing. There are people that are sitting up there that have a 100% allegiance to the president. They don't have an allegiance to the United States any longer. They don't have an allegiance to the Constitution.
It's the case. It's just that you don't know it. It has always been like that.
Well, there have been a few times. I was alive during the Nixon hearings, and they started out this way.
I must make this point. We're only seeing glimpses of it now. If you think that
no
this
doubt, I don't have a doubt. Right.
Or deeper depth, if you say, then we're all kidding. This has been how U.S. policy is done. It is a matter of, well, perhaps Trump is being more crass than his predecessors, but the major role of politics is to make money forever. That's the whole point. You would be dead and gone, and your whole apparatus, your money-making apparatus, continues to produce wealth for you. That's been demonstrated all over the world. They don't do anything fairly.
Well,
it's these people who concoct for themselves what their pathway will be to unimaginable wealth and power, even the power to declare war, to send other people's sons and daughters to to die on foreign land so that their grandchildren would have a cocoa plantation, or they would have gold deposits forever. This is how it's done.
Listen, I have no doubt how it's done, and I understand how it's done. We don't usually get to see them making the sausage right in front of you like this, and we don't usually get to see I have not ever seen a group of people on one side totally go against what is true. Just say, look, we don't care what's true or what's false. The President of the United States is our guy, and we are going to get behind him no matter what. So, I mean, usually at the end of the day, because I would say most of the, listen, in the past we've had...
Any representative of a small country, even a large one, if any of the things that we are seeing and hearing even come close to the crazy things that these same people have done to other people in the name of the United States, what it's really about them. You ask any ambassador from even a small country,
I have no doubt. I mean, and I don't know what, you know, are we supposed to, do you want to just ignore it and say, well, listen, this is how it always gets done, so let's not try to do anything different. Let's just keep going along with the way it is. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't think it's always, I think there's many backroom deals. I think there's a lot of backroom deals, and I think there's a lot of sausage being made. But I'm telling you, when somebody tells you the color is red and you're looking at the color blue, then you have to ask yourself, what are we going to do here? This is serious. This is really serious. And people should take it seriously. Because if Trump gets in again, he is, as you well know, he is unhinged. I mean, that mouth of his, listening to him, watching him go off.
I was one of the first people to point it out.
You were the first to point it out. He is unhinged. And that means that, you know, for people that think that it's not going to matter to you who the president is, yes, it is. Because if he gets in again, he's going to start, who knows where he's going to end? Who knows what else he's going to do? I happen to think that the government has already become so fascistic, and so many crazy things that people are not talking about. They're not talking about the lack of jobs right now. They're not talking about how many people are getting laid off. They're not talking about 43% of the stores in New York City, the king of retail. 43% of the stores are out of business. Who do you think that's hitting? It's hitting people like me. And you know what? The retailers want to continue to go out of business because they don't want to pay people to work for them anymore. So they've decided that they've got this underlying push to allow these stores to fail. And so when you come in, you're not even encouraged anymore to sell. You're encouraged to stand there and be polite while the ship goes down, because it's a very good thing if the ship goes down for the people that own the ship. Then they can say, well, you know what? Nobody was shopping anymore. I got called out this morning, but I got called out this morning by my boss for selling too much.
You're assuming a lot about what people that people don't know. They absolutely know it.
And why are we talking about it? Why aren't we talking about it?
Where they've been maneuvered. We all have been, to one extent or the other. We all are shoved into neat little boxes of containment.
Mm-hmm.
So as
isolation.
Any possibility of collective revolt and collective action.
That's so true. That is so true. I found that out. You know, I'll just share something with you quickly. You know, when George Bush came in, he gave that first gigantic tax cut to the wealthy. And I remember going to see a woman who was in politics. She was a senator or something. And she started to talk about it. And she said to the audience, listen, she said, it's not that those taxes won't be collected. She said, those taxes are going to be collected. They're just going to be collected by you instead of people that are wealthier than you. When I went to work, I myself got a letter from the IRS saying I owed them $2,000 worth of back taxes from 10 years ago. Now, I fought it, And you know what? Turned out that they owed me $2,700, not me owing them anything. But I never talked about it because I was so ashamed of what happened. But then I started to talk about it, and I realized after talking to several of my coworkers that at just about the same time, the exact same thing happened to them. And it happened also to my husband. It happened to my friend Lawrence. My friend Lawrence lives in the projects. My husband was a postal worker. It looked like everyone was in the middle class was getting hit with some kind of tax that they had not paid in the past. And it was the first time for all of us, including myself. And I realized later on that this was a very, very carefully crafted way of getting people to close that gap that we were losing from those taxes that were not going to get paid at the top anymore. But people were so ashamed of having to deal with the IRS and being accused of not paying their taxes, and on top of that, they were so terrified of the IRS that what the IRS would do is they'd say, look, we're not going to go after you if you agree to pay these monthly installments, and we'll take them out of your check every single month for you. And that's what people did. And I am pretty sure that that's how we closed the gap with that gigantic tax cut. So for people to think that who's in office doesn't matter, it matters. And I want to say, too, that when we look at East Harlem and Harlem, it absolutely matters. I fought that woman, Mark Viverito, tooth and nail on this upzone of raising the zones at 125th Street. It was the first one to raise the zone height on 125th Street, because I saw with many, many other people what was going to happen, that once you did that, there wasn't going to be 125th Street or black people or anything. It was going to be fully gentrified, full throttle. And by the way, Mr. Bloomberg was the mayor at the time, and he got Inez Dickens, who was a real estate person herself, and Melissa Mark Viverito, the so-called progressive left-winger, who all, herself is a multimillionaire. All these millionaires came together, and they raised that zone height. And today, Harlem is being demolished. Five churches are going down, because I knew this was going to happen, too, that the people that owned a lot of the land in Harlem were churches, and they were the first ones to capitulate. Go ahead, so come on, take our church. We don't care. We'll sell out. We'll give you the church. And when the churches go down, the people leave, because that is one of the gathering places, just like supermarkets. It's another one. You need churches, you need supermarkets, you need public schools in order to have a middle class or people that are living lower than middle class live there. You get rid of that, and then you can start bringing in the new crowd. And they have. And sooner or later, I think
we have to leave it there, because we are out of time. I'm sorry to say. But I'm glad that people had so much to say, that we're out of time. So this is a weekend right at our doorstep. Make the best of it. Relax, take it easy. Enjoy the company of people who bring great attention to your life. And see each other Monday. Bye.